Psalm 40. We continue in this mini-series in the Psalms, the book of Psalms, on the Psalms for the seasons of life. Psalm 40. When we're overwhelmed with life, some people are overwhelmed with their past. They just won't let it go or let that go. Some people are overwhelmed with the present. Problems, needs. Some people are overwhelmed with the future. The unknown. What am I going to do? How am I going to live? There's other things too that enter into our lives that can overwhelm us. Sin. Physical needs. Sickness, illnesses, financial needs can overwhelm us. Yes, sometimes we go through seasons of just being overwhelmed, wherever that may be. I think we've all been there, various degrees. Maybe we're here right now. Whatever it may be that seems to overwhelm you, God has a message. God has an answer. God has a solution. His solution, His answer, His way, His grace. To meet your life today. Maybe you know someone who's going through a time just being overwhelmed with life. It doesn't have to be an old person. It could be a younger person. Well, this morning I pray that you'll hear what God is saying. That message to you from Him through His Word, that you'll be able to speak that message, speak God's Word, God's counsel to them. They need to hear that God has a way. Amen? We all do. Join me in prayer. Father God, we thank you. Thank you, Father, for the way, the truth, and life, which is your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for so great a salvation. And Lord, help us not to just keep it to ourselves. The many times you've delivered us from difficulties, from just those seasons of being overwhelmed with life, those times where we felt like we're down in a pit, Lord, that we're stuck in the miry clay and it's holding us and gripping us and pulling us down ever deeper. Lord, thank you for those deliverances and your divine intervention by grace. The power of your Holy Spirit and the wisdom of your word, Lord, thank you for those deliverances. Lord, we thank you too that all of those times in our lives were meant to draw us ever closer. And just as we sung, Lord Jesus, draw closer, ever deeper into your life within us, your life through us, your life within our church family, and living through us together. So Lord, speak to us for your word, we pray. A very familiar song to probably every one of us. But Lord, we pray that the familiarity with your word and with this song in particular would in any way hinder us from hearing your voice. That there would be nothing that would cause us or stop us to learn from this year today. And not just to learn it, but Lord, by your grace and your power, your life within us, to live your word daily. We ask this, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Just a very brief overview, I invite you to take out your outline there with regard to the Psalms for seasons, whatever season we're going through, and maybe you're in a season right now where you're overwhelmed. Maybe you're overwhelmed in your marriage. I don't know. But the Lord knows. Maybe you're overwhelmed with your children. Maybe you're overwhelmed with your grandchildren. Maybe you're overwhelmed with the church family. Maybe issues are happening. I don't know, but the Lord knows. And He has a way out. He has a way through. David wrote this psalm. The Psalm of David. Psalm 40. Are you there? I pray you are, because you've been looking at some specific verses. We won't go through the entire psalm, verse by verse. But we'll take the first three verses and we'll highlight the various other results of the deliverance, the gracious and powerful deliverance that God gave David at this time. We're not told when this happened in David's life. And it's true with many of the Psalms that David wrote, but some of them were told, well, this is the time when David repented of his sin with Bathsheba and murdering Uriah there. And another Psalm instructs us when that was occurring in David's life. But here, if you will, the Psalm of Deliverance, maybe it was one when the Amalekites, we don't know if it was then, when the Amalekites went into Ziklag where David had his camp, his military camp, and he and his military men, his soldiers, had left the camp, left their family and friends there at the camp, lo and behold, the Amalekites came in and destroyed the camp and took everyone captive. It may have been at that time because David was despairing. Take a look at your outline there. David's men were going to stone him. It doesn't get any worse than that. David's men were going to stone him. David was greatly distressed. It's an intensive form, if you will, as it describes how David, he was overwhelmed with what happened. And he had no control. He was greatly distressed. And David was greatly distressed when the people spoke of stoning him because all the people were bitter in soul, each of his sons and daughters. And David strengthened himself in the Lord. Maybe Psalm 40 came out of that experience. I don't know. We don't know. But we do know that that was truly the time when David strengthened himself in the Lord. And this Psalm 40 instructs us of how to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. It may have been when David faced a revolt by his son Absalom. And that was a terrible, terrible time in the life of David, as well as in the time of Israel itself. Here, the royal family is so divided that son wanted to kill his father. Think about it. It may have been that time, or it may have been many of the other times that David felt overwhelmed. But whatever the time or the occasion in David's life, this psalm is for us today, in our seasons of being overwhelmed with life. When you and I don't know what to do. When there are burdens of life that seem to press us down. When we feel that we're stuck in a pit and no way out. Have you been there? I have. You know what I'm talking about. You know what God was talking about through David, his word then. And when we feel like giving up, have you felt that at times? When we feel defeated by the enemy. God has this word of encouragement for us to fall. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction. That includes Psalm 40. Amen? That's true endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures we may find hope. There's something else about this psalm too as a little bit of a background. It's a messianic psalm. Because portions of it are also used and directed and applied to Jesus Christ. Case in point, verse 7. And then I said, behold, I've come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. Verse 8, I delight to do your will, O my God, your law is within my heart. Certainly David was a man after God's own heart. He certainly wanted to do God's will. There were times when he didn't, like you and I. But God had a way of forgiveness. God had a way of cleansing in David's heart, like for you and I. But all of these verses are applied by the writer of Hebrews directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we know that this is also one of the many messianic psalms, because of the application it has to the incarnational life and obedience of Jesus Christ to the Father. But through the centuries, this psalm, Psalm 40, like many of the psalms, but this psalm in particular today that we're looking at, they have found strength and encouragement from this psalm in times of difficulties and the trials of life. Some of the reasons for that is, if you will take a look at your outline, it becomes a time of utter despair. Utter despair, down in the pit, in the grip of that situation. And it becomes a time of utter despair and total dependence upon the Lord. It also speaks of divine deliverance and the attending blessings. When God delivers, he blesses too. So we are reminded again and again how gracious, how merciful, how loving, and how caring our God the Father is. Amen? And to deliver, it also shows the greatness of the Lord and the salvation of his people. So great is our salvation in Jesus Christ. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget how great the salvation you and I have in Jesus Christ. We should. All the times we remember that when we're in the pit, when we're overwhelmed by life, and we pray after the Lord. And that's what's happening here, and that's what's instructing our hearts. It's a psalm that is also intended to give hope and counsel when we feel overwhelmed in life. It also demonstrates the value of God's deliverance in our lives to encourage others. It's not all about us. It's about the Lord and other people. Amen? Yeah. Like, for instance, if you will, David tells us, during the time when he was so overwhelmed, we don't know the situation, we don't know the time, but God delivered him. And so David knew that this wasn't just for him. And it wasn't just for him and his relationship with God. It was all of that. But it was so much more. Take a look, if you will, at verses 9 through 10. And I am told of the glad news of deliverance. And where did he tell it? One of the great comfort. He told it to God's people. He said, God is great, God is good, God is good all the time. And then, behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. He proclaimed it to others. And so that also is being taught here in this psalm, when you and I are delivered by the Lord in those times of being overwhelmed, the season of being overwhelmed in life. And take a look at verse 1. Verse 1, David's cry to the Lord for help. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. Great verse. Now, David's saying, I prayed. I really prayed to the Lord this time. And I'm sure you have now too, when you're overwhelmed in certain situations and circumstances, that oftentimes that's when you really pray. It's not just the rote prayers. It's not that now I lay me down to sleep prayers. Okay, it's really where you're pouring your heart out to the Lord. There's a great theological discussion going on at one time with a number of people within the prayer of Cyrus Brown. Maybe you've heard this. The proper way for a man to pray, said Deacon Lemuel Keyes, and the only proper attitude is down upon his knees. No, I should say, the way to pray, said Reverend Dr. Wise, is standing right straight and outstretched arms with rapt and upturned eyes. Oh, no, 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 said Elder Slow. Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with eyes fast closed and head contritely bowed. It seems to me his hands should be austerely clasped behind his back, with thumbs pointed down to the ground, said Reverend Dr. Blunt. Last year, I fell at Hodgkin's Well, head first, from Cyrus Brown, said Cyrus Brown, with both my heels a-sticking up and my head a-pointing down. And I made a prayer right then and there, best prayer I ever said, the prayest prayer I ever prayed was standing on my head. David wasn't in a well, but this indeed is a desperate prayer and cry to God. Now he uses metaphors, he uses, if you will, imagery there, down in a pit of noises, a horrible pit. He's in clay as we get down to verse 2. But David says right from the beginning, he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. Sometimes we don't wait. In fact, the emphasis here in the original is in waiting, I waited on it. It's a double emphasis. And David is saying, I waited on the Lord. Waiting for the Lord is a positive act of faith. Sometimes we think, well, what do you do? What's this all about waiting? I know the disciples were told to wait in Jerusalem before the Holy Spirit come, and they waited, and the Holy Spirit came upon you. And then there's there's a whole movement taken from that passage in Acts called a waiting movement, you know? And it's so distorted. But David waited. Let me share with you, and you have it in your outline before you. Waiting for the Lord is a positive action of faith. It's not shifting into neutral. It's not becoming passive or doing nothing. It's not leaving a vacuum in our life for Satan to fill. And sometimes we just turn neutral, passive, when we're in a situation, well, I can't do anything about it, I've already prayed to God, so it's in His hands. That's not the kind of waiting that David had here. He waited with an expectant heart. He was intently crying out to God. And he was waiting on the Lord, for the Lord's response. Take a look at Psalm 37, you have it there. Wait for the Lord and keep His way. So it's not doing anything, but it's doing the right things, right? It's waiting on the Lord and doing exactly what the Lord would have you to do right now. If you're in that pit or in that time, in that season, whatever it might be, and He will exalt you to inherit the land, you will look on, and when the wicked are cut off. Another, waiting for the Lord is directing our hearts, our minds, and souls to trust in Him alone. We have that expressed by David here. Take a look at verse 4. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. That was how he was waiting. He was trusting the Lord. Expecting the Lord to hear and to answer. Not just saying, well, okay, I prayed about it. That's it. But on with life as you want your life to be. Oftentimes waiting brings about a real heart change when the person is waiting. For the good. By the grace of God. Verse 13, if you will. Take a look at verse 13. Blessed be, O Lord, to deliver me, O Lord, make haste to help me. Yes. There was an earnestness of expectation there. Verse 17, as for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. He was waiting with a sense of urgency, with a sense of anticipation. He wasn't just saying, well, Lord, help me, bless me in this time, and going about it our own way. No, he was engaging the Lord. Waiting for the Lord. Again, waiting for the Lord is not a drive-through. It's not a run, not on the run. Or it's not a quick meal experience. I waited patiently. I waited on the Lord. And I'm doing what the Lord would have me to do. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Waiting on the Lord has a purpose of testing and strengthening our faith. There's value. There's value to those seasons that you and I go through. Don't miss the value that God has for them. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's a great, dire need. Maybe it's something else is going on that you feel overwhelmed. That's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for God to show His grace, His glory, and His greatness. It really is. But you need to look to Him and trust in Him. You need to wait upon Him. And He will answer. He gives power to the faith and to him who has no might. He increases strength. And those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. You know this passage from Isaiah. And they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Those who wait for the Lord. Are you waiting? Doesn't mean you're not doing anything. We're even waiting for the Lord in the context of worship and praise. To understand His will, to know His will, to do His will, to glorify Him, to make Him known to others. Yes, He gives power to the faith, He gives strength, He increases strength. Waiting for the Lord is acknowledging and surrendering to His sovereign control and purpose in life. And David says in Psalm 31, he says, I trust in You, O Lord. You are my God, my times are in Your hands. My times are in Your hands. Like the Lord Himself, He can pray. Not my will, but Thine be done. That's also a part of waiting. It's not waiting for God to understand what we think is the way out of the pit. But it's waiting for God to come and intervene, for God to deliver, and for God to teach us something we never knew before, or maybe we knew it, but we really never wanted it. Begin to see how great our God is. That's exactly what David says in the Psalm. Great is the Lord and great praise. Again, in 1 Peter chapter 5, after you have suffered a little while, love that phrase, a little while, Sometimes we say, well, it's a month, Lord. Is that a little while? The Lord, we are in His hands. We are in His control. And waiting on the Lord is also surrendering to His sovereign will, to His sovereign control, and saying, Lord, my times are in Your hands. I know that's difficult. Believe me, I too. I've struggled with that too. But I know that God is telling me, through David's experience, there are times when you and I have to just say, Lord, I'm crying out to You as a church. Lord, I'm crying out to You as a husband. Lord, I'm crying out to You as a wife. Lord, I'm crying out to You as a parent, as a grandparent. Lord, I'm waiting on You. For I know that You have the way. You are the truth. You are the life that I want to live fully right now and always. Waiting for the Lord who is anticipating His gospel to work in our lives. You see, the gospel never stops working in the life of the believer. Never stops working. Its power continues to bring transformation in our lives. It continues to bring us ever closer to that loving relationship that we now have through the gospel of Jesus Christ with God as our Heavenly Father. It continually brings us deeper into His truth, deeper into His ways, deeper and stronger in our commitment. Yes, Lord Jesus, I'm going to serve You. I'm going to live for You. Waiting for the Lord is anticipating His gospel to work in our lives. Count it all joy, James says. My brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. What he's talking about is that maturation, we become more, if you will, mature. We become mature in Christ Jesus. Then in the same verse, he says in verse B, it says, He inclined His ear to me. You know something? The Lord was always already on His way to meet David in His need, in His time of need. And you and I, even before we cry out to the Lord, the Lord is already on His move toward you, toward me, toward His church. He doesn't just sit there and wait. He already takes action. He does. You've seen it. I'm sure you have. We've seen it. We've seen it throughout the few years of ministry in our walk with the Lord. You're in a pit right now, like David was. You're overwhelmed with life. You need to know, even before you're crying out to the Lord, and you probably have right now, or maybe you will, but before you, God is always already on the move toward you. It's exactly what David is saying here. He's saying, He inclined to me. He didn't send an angel. God Himself inclined. He leaned into David. He knew exactly what David was going through. David was crying out to Him, and the Lord leaned into David and lifted him up out of that pit and out of that miry clay. Paul says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. Know that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. The Lord leaned into David's life. Have you had those times when God was leading into your life and bringing you up out of that pit? Have you? I have. I pray you have. If you're facing an overwhelming time right now in your life, know that the same God over David, the same God over your life. David's deliverance. Take a look at verse 2. And he drew me up from a pit of destruction. Some have it as a horrible pit, as an amplifier, if you will, to the pit, describing the pit. Now that I'm retired, he set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. But that very first part, he drew me up out of the pit of destruction. David's using a metaphor here. I was not in a pit, but it felt like he was in a pit. Couldn't get out by himself. He's out of control. He had no control of the situation himself. But it's an appropriate picture when you feel overwhelmed with life and you have no control of the circumstances. and it seems like everything and everyone is against you, cry out to the Lord because He's never against you. Cry out to the Lord, He will lead into you and lift you up. Notice the picture that David gives of hidden destruction. In fact, the word there that's translated destruction, horrible, it is also the same Hebrew word for noises. And some have translated it that David felt like he was in a pit of noises, condemnations from others. But see that? And she says she's a Christian, but look at her. Now where is your God? He says that he's a Christian, now where is his God? And that person, being overwhelmed by life, is crying out to the Lord, you've been there, I've been there. And God himself leans in and intervenes. That's the whole story of the gospel, isn't it? God himself leaning into humanity, coming in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. He didn't have to come. He could have wiped humanity out and started her all over again if He wanted to. There were those who were crying out. You cried out too. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there was a moment when you cried out for salvation. And God leaned into your life. Brush your hand. The picture that David gives is a place where there's accusations, there's condemnation. A miry bottle. Some have the miry clay. Some of you guys who have been in the army tell me about some of the going down to Georgia at the wrong time of the year when it's always wet and muddy, and that mud just seems to get heavier and heavier on the boots, and never can get out of it. And that's kind of what the picture of David is saying. There's no foundation, there's no solid rock under him. All it is miry clay. And he's going deeper and deeper and deeper. As he's waiting on the Lord, he's crying out to the Lord. The Lord is indeed leaning into him and he's lifting him up out of that miry clay. Picture of salvation, yes. But I believe it's also a picture of every deliverance God brings into your life and my life. Whatever that may be. Maybe it's an overwhelming physical issue, financial issue, a relationship issue, a marriage issue, a family issue, a church issue. Whatever it may be, this song is for us. Notice the personal intervention. He drew me up. Not an angel. Didn't wave his hand. He could have. Okay, David, you're out. No, he didn't. The Lord himself drew him up. Notice he actually came by the Lord. There in the latter part of verse 2. He set my feet upon a rock and making my steps secure. Taking out of his miry clay, freedom and release. Feet upon a rock, a firm foundation. Christ in His Word is a firm foundation for you and I, and for this church family. There's no other foundation for the body of Christ. That's Jesus Christ alone. There's no other foundation for the life of you in Jesus Christ than Christ in His Word alone. That's why indeed it's called Bible Church. It's a Bible church. We preach and teach the Word of God, both in the worship service as well as in the Sunday school classes. Because it's so important. It's so important. Taken out of the pit, clay, feet upon a rock, and step secure. Fixed direction and renewed strength. A fixed direction. David couldn't go anywhere in that pit. Whatever the circumstances were, he couldn't go anywhere, but he could look up. He said, Lord, help me. I'm waiting on you, Lord, with an expectant heart. Lord, help me. I'm crying to you. Not to my mighty men of valor. They can't help me. Not to one of my wives. Not to my counselor. But I'm crying to you, Lord. Have you been there? Sometimes we go to the wrong source. And I've been there too. And I've gotten bad and wrong counsel. But God will never give you bad and wrong counsel. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, according or abounding in it with thanksgiving. But take a look at the results, if you will, in addition to being lifted up out of the pit and set upon a firm rock. Verse 3, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. A new song, a song of deliverance.
Have you had that new song? Have you? And you know something? With all the different situations that you and I get into as Christians on this side of glory, God, I don't know how it is for you, but I find that he keeps giving new verses to that new song. Have you done that too? Yeah! That's what it's all about. So you can sing his praise, you can worship it, and you can also tell others. Many will see and fear in the Lord and trust in him. That's part of the results. You see, it wasn't all about David. It wasn't all about David and his relationship to the Lord. It was about David and the Lord, but also other people. That's why there's great value when the church gathers in small groups or in large groups, that we sing and praise and worship the Lord, but we also hear testimony. God is good, God is great, amen? And he said he did that in the congregation of God's people. I personally believe that worship service should be to the tent. Now we have that in some measure in our singing and praising, but there's times when we should just, hey look, let's just have a time of thanksgiving and testimony. One of these Sundays, this month, we'll have a time for that. Where you and I can just give a word of praise and testimony. That's a part of worship too. That's a part of life that is experiencing the deliverance of God and the greatness of his grace. And you know, I didn't deserve it, but God did it. I cried out to my God. I cried out to my Father. And this is what he did. Praise God, I want you to know so you can sing that song with me. And he's put another verse in my song. Amen. But are we singing those verses now? That's the question. He gives us a song. He really does. But are you and I singing that song to others? Well, I can't do that. I've never gone to school. I've never gone to seminary. I can't do that. Yes, you can. You've got the song. And the song is not about you. It's about your Savior. Amen.
Testimony to others. Many will see and hear for their trust in the Lord. Take a look at 2 Corinthians, just closing with that, if you will. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, in the pit, in the miry clay, in the time when you are overwhelmed with life, whatever, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Are you being overwhelmed in your life right now? Circumstances, situations, needs, pain, relationships. Are you? Let me tell you right now, God is the way out. Would you cry and wait unto him with an expectant heart? Maybe you know somebody. It's a tragedy when we hear about teenagers purposely, intentionally taking an overdose. They're in a pit. They're in the mire of life. I wonder how many of them heard the song of deliverance from a Christian neighbor, a Christian parent, a Christian grandparent. Other. Help us and teach us right after you. we're overwhelmed. And even when we don't think we're overwhelmed, but with life in general. For Lord Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. We've experienced your great salvation, and many times of deliverance by your grace. Lord, give us the courage, give us the heart to sing the songs of deliverance to others, our loved ones, our friends, for your glory and for their salvation. In your name we pray.